Are you ready to bring your dream body and health into life, but just can't seem to keep the motivation going? And is it finally time to address the self-sabotage and the unwanted eating behaviors, such as binge eating, emotional eating, and nighttime eating that are getting in the way of your goals? Do you ever wonder what it would take for you to feel in control of your rituals so that you can stay consistent and see results? Welcome to this week's special Make Peace with Food minisode on the Fall in Love with Fitness podcast, where you'll learn how to overcome unwanted eating behavior and other self-sabotaging habits by shifting your nervous system so that your body works with you instead of against you. I'm your host, Sherry Chaban, and with each episode, I am honored to be your coach and guide in the journey to make peace with food and find food and body freedom, so that struggle with weight is a thing of the past. When you tune in every Thursday on the Fall in Love with Fitness podcast, you'll catch the latest conversation on unwanted eating behaviors and learn how to shift the nervous system, rewire the brain to new patterns, and end the food and body obsession so you finally feel relaxed and no longer confused around food. In this week's episode, I share the 6 reasons why diets fail and how they ultimately lead to long-term weight gain and food obsession every single time. Now you're gonna wanna tune in if you're tired of dieting and food restrictions that never seem to stick. You experience anxiety and overwhelm when it comes to food, what to eat and when to eat it. You feel so confused about what you're supposed to eat. You're ready to end the food obsession and constant worry about weight, which never seems to help anyway. And you want to learn how to eat to release weight for good without ever dieting again. Now, before we begin, I want to quickly invite you to grab a free copy of my food freedom ebook I have for you on makepeacewithfood.com. And if you find that this conversation resonates with you today, then maybe consider sharing it with someone who you know may need to hear it too. And if you feel called, then I also want to invite you to join our free Make Peace with Food Facebook community at myfoodfreedomlifestyle.com, where you can connect with me and my team directly. All of the links are in the show notes. All right, athletes, now let's get to it. We're going to start to talk about why diets fail. And I'm so excited for this conversation, because I've been in the health and fitness space going on to 25 years now. Yep, I'm old, I'm getting up there. And what's super interesting about this conversation is the moment that we actually give up dieting, give up food restriction, give up all that mental headspace that's constantly invested in what we're gonna eat, how much of it are we gonna have, what time do we eat? What can we not have? And how does that impact my weight? How does that impact my body? And we really start to get away from that, get out of the mind and get more into the body. That's actually when we start to see the results that we've always wanted. And so if you are here today, this is a very important conversation. In fact, one that I really hope you take to heart. And if you are still currently dieting, or if you're really still focusing on what to eat, what not to eat, and feel super confused about food, maybe today, this will be the day that we actually start to look at nutrition in a different way, and we start to look at our goals in a different way. I want to share with you first why, again, this conversation is super important to me, and maybe you've been in this group long enough, maybe you've heard my story, but I ran a gym for about 10 years, and this was up until about the pandemic. And prior to that, I got into the health and fitness space in my early 20s. This was a little bit by accident. I actually joined a gym for the first time because I wanted to overcome major back pain. When I was a teenager, I was struck by a car, and I ended up having back surgery. It was actually an emergency surgery. And growing up, I was a child athlete, but after that surgery, I was asked to never play sports again. And so from my teen years, my late teens, up until my early 20s, I followed this advice so closely, did not exercise. I believed because doctors told me that if I did exercise, even going for a run or lifting weights or playing volleyball or swimming, that this could create more issues and damage in my spine. And so, to avoid future surgeries and to avoid future issues with my back, I had to stop exercising. And so, at that point, my back pain was becoming unbearable, and I was relying on pain medication to get through every single day. And so, when I came back to the gym, the actual reason was to build strength. There were many moments in my life where I was dependent on other people to help me do very, very mundane things like going to the washroom or taking a shower or even going up the stairs or helping me with my kids. And they were so young at that point, they were still potty training. And so my ultimate goal really is to use training and exercise in general as a way to strengthen my body. And that's exactly what I wanted to do in my early 20s. And I accidentally fell in love with fitness as soon as I started to see the effect in just a few months. I was able to get over my back pain. And it was at that moment in my life where I realized that my destiny, my calling, was also to help others overcome adversity. It was to help others overcome any major obstacle that they had, whether that was an injury like mine, a dis-ease, or even a struggle with weight. And so I completely changed careers at that time. I was actually doing my master's degree in chemistry, of all things, and I decided to get into a new program where I could learn everything there possibly was about the human body. And so I started studying exercise science, and I specialized in athletic therapy, and I eventually became an osteopath, and along the way, got involved in every single course that was offered that focused on fitness, on kettlebell training, on prenatal training, on postnatal training, CrossFit, and of course, nutrition. And that's where things really started getting confusing for me because when I first started looking at nutrition, we were talking about counting calories. That was the way that we did it. Calories in equals calories out, they said. And so I got on that bandwagon, even though my intention was not to release weight. My intention actually was to find the right way to eat so that I could share this with my clients. And so after the calorie counting diet, I then heard about the low fat diet. And so I started doing that because, again, that was the right way to eat. The science was there. But then after that, we heard that fats were actually really, really good and that carbs were really, really bad. And so this guy named Atkins was talking about that. And then I jumped on that and I started to eat a high fat, high protein diet and very, very low carb diet. Again, the science was there and I'm a scientist. But then I joined the CrossFit world and everybody was talking about eating like a caveman. And so there was so much truth behind that. Agriculture is kind of new to us in our history and it all started making sense. And so eventually I became paleo. And then we talked about the zone diet. And that was supposed to overly simplify paleo and allow you to kind of eat things in blocks. And so I jumped onto that because the science was there too. But that eventually became the keto diet because the science was there. And then it was the macro diet because the science was there. And then eventually the vegan diet because again, the science was there and meat is something that we're not supposed to have. Even though at that time I came from a science background. And even though at that time I felt that I had invested time into all the books, that I had done the work, I still felt very confused. Every single diet that I had explored, that I had tried, that I saw was backed by science was also contradicting. And so that was becoming so confusing. And I noticed that most people are very confused about food as well. They may have heard a particular rule 11 years ago. That may not even hold water, that may not even have even worked for them specifically, and yet they're still trying it. They're still trying to apply that rule. They're still in that belief system. And so Nicholas is asking, how many diets have you tried and have they created confusion? So if you're tuning in right now, that is something that we're talking about. How many diets have you tried and are you confused about some of the rules that may be contradictory between one diet and the next. I want to give you this as you walk away with this today. I want to give you six reasons why diets will fail. And maybe if you've been in this space again for a long time, I want you just to ask yourself this. If you've tried dieting for not just years but decades, but never got the result that you want, is it time to try something new? Because what they say is repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is called what? Insanity. Yes. So that's the big ultimate question. Why are we still trying to go about it in the exact same way when we know that it never created the results that we wanted? Or maybe it did, but just for a short amount of time before all of a sudden we went right back to where we started and maybe even put on more weight than where we first started. I'm going to share with you now six really important points, and I was trying to narrow this down because I can share 20 reasons why diets fail every single time. But the first reason why diets fail is because they are not sustainable. They are not sustainable. They are too extreme. If you think about it, most diets call for extreme changes in nutrition or extreme restrictions that you have to follow to a T in order to get results. Now, that's what I personally discovered on the keto diet. It didn't make sense for me personally in the way that I enjoy my food and the way that I live my lifestyle to completely remove carbohydrates from my diet. And yes, there is temporary results when you follow the ketogenic diet because you're removing an entire food group, as an example. However, you'll notice that most people have a hard time sustaining that, staying consistent with that long term, and generally end up putting the weight back on and more. And so, again, if you're finding yourself in a space where you need to be on the wagon because you're always falling off the wagon, you're always needing to be on or off. That is diet mindset. And what would it feel like to actually find a way to eat that's sustainable so that you're always on no matter what? And there's flexibility and there's a way to eat that's enjoyable and you're still seeing the results that you want. And this is exactly what we talk about in Make Peace with Food, because when you switch from a can't mindset to a don't mindset, everything changes. So instead of, I can't eat this, I'm not allowed to have that, I can't have that because I'm trying to release weight, which is the thought process that we generally have when we are in a diet mindset. Once we release that and we understand how to shift into a don't mindset by shifting our nervous system from protection mode to safety mode, it then starts to become, oh, I don't eat that. I don't have that. And now it becomes more certainty around personality, around character, around identity, so that there is no yo-yoing. There is no on or off. It just is because you are in your being. It's who you are. It's the way you eat, and it matches your lifestyle. And so the second reason that diets fail us is because they're confusing and they're contradicting, as I shared earlier. One diet says fats are really, really great for us, and carbohydrates cause dis-ease, while another diet says, nope, it's the opposite. It's fats that cause dis-ease, and carbohydrates are really great for us. And so, as we get into one diet after the other, we start to notice that there are so many rules, and we start to feel like in order for us to see results, we have to follow these rules to the T. Otherwise, we don't get the results that we want, and it starts to become so stressful. And that's generally what happens once we've explored many diets. We start to pick up different belief systems from each diet and start to become so confused about food that we're no longer listening to our body. Our body has an innate capacity to tell us exactly what we need, when we need it, and how much of it we need in order to survive, in order to thrive, and in order to help heal and regenerate the body. But when we're following all these diets and all these rules, we're not using the body's cues. We're using a lot of mind processing. So maybe we're following an app. Maybe we are following a book. Maybe we're following a meal plan of some sort, and really finding information, looking for cues outside ourselves instead of really listening to our body that's telling us exactly what we need. And so by following so many diets, we end up overriding the body's natural cues, the natural signals, which is called appetite control. And so as we diet and we chronically diet, we start to damage appetite control. And appetite control is this ability that we have, that we are born with, to signal hunger and also to signal fullness. And now the third reason that diets fail is because they only work for some people. We are so bio-individual. That means the way that we metabolize certain foods, the way that we react to certain foods, and even certain macronutrients, which are your proteins, your carbohydrates, and your fats, is very bio-individual. So if that means if we all ate the exact same thing, exact same number of calories, if we're counting calories, and we all moved the exact same way, burned the exact same number of calories, if we're counting calories, we would still not all have the same results. That's because our bodies work very differently. And that's why maybe you heard your neighbor have major success on the ketogenic diet, but when you tried it, it didn't work for you. And so the ultimate message that we get when something doesn't work for us is that we're damaged, or we're broken, or we didn't try hard enough, or we're not motivated, or we're not disciplined, or we didn't want it bad enough. And none of that is true. Because simply, the fact is that certain diets only work for some people. And so diets give us this all or nothing type approach where we feel that this should be a one size fits all, and it's simply not true. And so it just leaves us feeling defeated, and it leaves us feeling like there's just no hope for us. And again, it removes that ability for us to really tap into those internal cues that are always guiding us, and that we always tend to ignore. Now, number four is that diets generally are overly simplified, right? And I think the greatest example of this is calories in equals calories out, right? All you have to do is download an app, count all the calories that you consume, and then count all the calories that you burn, and there you go. There's your balance. If there's too many calories consumed, you're gonna put on weight. And if you've reduced the number of calories you consumed and increased your movement and you've burned more calories, then theoretically you should release weight. In fact, according to my app calculation, by June 7th, I should release exactly 18.6 pounds. And we are not a mathematical formula. This is again simply not true. This just says that a calorie is just this unit of energy, and basically we either consume it or burn it, but it never suggests other factors that could be going on. For example, the influence of the nervous system. When we are in protection mode, we're going to slow down our metabolism. So this whole calorie in, calorie out counting doesn't even work because the metabolism is forcefully trying to ensure survival. So the way that it does that is it conserves as much energy as possible. And now your calories in, calories out formula does not work. And if you look at all of the other diets, it's also an overly simplified mathematical equation. Whether you're counting macros, which is just a more intelligent way to count calories, or you're counting other point systems. Number five, diets are result-oriented, not system-oriented. If you notice, every single diet that we start, we're always thinking about our result. When I release 30 pounds by doing all these things, then I'll be successful, and then I'll be happy, and then I'll be fit, and then I'll be good with myself. I'll feel good about myself. I won't feel flawed anymore. But they never really explain to us the system of how to stay there. That's why most of us achieve our results and then just end up going right back. Because diets set up this goal-oriented thought process. It's like submitting our taxes. It's tax season for most of us right now, right? Everybody's thinking about submitting their taxes. What are we going to do right now? We're going to collect all of our information, maybe all of our bills, get all our accounting sorted out, and then what do? We send it off to the accountant, and then that's it, done. We forget about it. We don't have to think about it again until next year. And so when we have the same goal-oriented thought process around our weight or around our fitness, We behave the same way. The moment that we release that weight that we've been trying to release, we stop working. And so we set it up in our mind that it's just temporary, that we just have to do it up until a certain point. And once we achieve it, we stop working. And so by understanding how to step into the being, so instead of focusing on releasing 30 pounds as an example, focusing on becoming the person who is 30 pounds lighter is how we're able to keep those results and to sustain them over time. Because eventually, what we're saying is we're not just looking for goals. We're not just trying to get that result of releasing weight. We're actually transforming our entire lifestyle so that, again, we're not ever off the wagon. There is no wagon. We're just always living our day-to-day life 24 hours at a time with adaptability and flexibility. Protection mode, which by the way is reason number six why diets fail, diets actually trigger protection mode. And so we trigger protection mode, which is also known as fight or flight response or the sympathetic nervous state, anytime that we are feeling unsafe in our environment. And unsafe is really this inability to relax into the environment, to just turn off. We're always on guard. We're always focused on stimulus. We're in a state of constant reaction. And so we can get triggered into protection mode due to trauma, for example. So many women join our program, Make Peace with Food, who have had sexual trauma in their background or physical or emotional trauma. And some people also from a physical injury. So that's also very traumatic. And others from what we call food scarcity, which can either be imposed, such as dieting, or it could be just actual real food scarcity, as in we grew up in an environment where really mom and dad weren't able to put food on the table. It just wasn't possible. And so when we trigger protection mode because we're dieting, what ends up happening is we slow down our metabolism. That's the first thing that's going to happen because, again, the body's trying to ensure survival by holding on to as many calories as possible, to as much energy reserves as possible. And then it also turns on that natural binge mechanism that we have, which again ensures our survival because the body has no idea that we're actually living in the modern world. This is the reptilian part of the brain that's operating. And when that part of the brain was needed, when we were hunter-gatherers, it ensured survival by conserving energy. So, making the metabolism work slower, making us more lethargic, making movement feel heavier in general. And then it also drove us to binge, to be able to eat large quantities of food without feeling full and without needing to stop, just in case we suddenly came across the possibility or the opportunity to feast. And so, the more that we diet, the more that we become confused about food, the more that we trigger protection mode, the more that we stay trapped in this vicious cycle. And so, if this is resonating with you today, again, I want to ask you, will you continue to repeat the same thing over and over again, looking for another diet, looking for a way to restrict, or are you ready to actually address the nervous system's involvement in why we are seeking more food, why we feel out of control around food, and why it generally feels like every time we get results, every time it seems like we're moving in the right direction, all of a sudden something happens and we self-sabotage. So if you're in that space, I want to invite you to jump on a quick 30-minute discovery call to find out if it truly is the nervous system issue involvement for you. Because if we qualify that it is the nervous system issue for you, and we invite you to join Make Peace with Food, within 6 months or less, you're going to overcome all of these eating behaviors that you've been maybe struggling with for a year, if not longer. And most of us have been in the space for a long time. And this is backed up, by the way, by a 100% money back guarantee. That's how certain we are that this is gonna work for you. As long as there's one condition, that you have to stop dieting. If you stop dieting and you work on the nervous system instead and really release these unwanted eating behaviors, this is gonna work for you. It's worked for over 14,000 other women. Only because they agreed to try something different and they agreed to stop restricting and to instead work on the behavior, which is really at the root cause of this whole thing. We're putting on weight or we're struggling with our weight, not because we have a hard time finding the right information or the right diet to help us release weight. I think by now we know that the information's out there. It's everywhere. In fact, there's too much of it. It's so confusing. And if you're open to instead working on the behavior, which is resulting in the overeating, which is resulting in the mindless eating, in the emotional eating, in the evening snacking, and you abolish this behavior, imagine how that would impact your body. And that's why we call that effortless effort. It's because truly, when you're in this space, you don't have to overexercise. You don't have to restrict. You don't have to focus on weight and body and calories and food all the time. Your body's going to start calling for the food that it needs in the right amounts that it needs at the right time. And it's going to feel full and stop asking for food and even stop thinking about food once it's satisfied. And so if you resonate with this, go ahead and grab a 30-minute spot. Either way, you're going to get value out of this call. It is a win-win situation. And that's really what this group is about. It is to empower you to really realign with your body's cues, to shift your nervous system, and to stop dieting and restricting, and to finally make peace with your body and make peace with food so that health and fitness is a natural way of being for you, and that struggle with weight is a thing of the past. So, with that, I will wish you a beautiful rest of your day, and I will see you all next week. Thank you for listening to this week's Make Peace with Food minisode on the Fall in Love with Fitness podcast. If this has resonated with you today, I want to invite you to subscribe to the show so you never miss a beat. And if you know someone who could benefit from this conversation, then please share this episode with them. Let's work together to help as many people as possible make peace with food and fall in love with fitness. And by the way, I need to mention that if you rate and review this podcast on iTunes and send over the screenshot to sherry@sherrychaban.com, you'll receive a $500 voucher to join me at one of my upcoming retreats or to use it in our Make Peace with Food coaching program. And don't forget to visit myfoodfreedomlifestyle.com to join the free Facebook group for more resources. And remember, athlete, you are an inspiration. I cannot wait to hear your story.